All right, Nehemiah. We're in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, as we continue our study of Nehemiah. Tonight, the title, They Gathered Themselves Together. They Gathered Themselves Together, Nehemiah 8 and verse 1. We're just going to look at 3 points tonight, and hopefully it'll be a help and a blessing. Of course, we talked last week about the people behind the walls, but we're going to say a few more things about those people. And again, what good are the walls without the people? Amen. You don't need walls if you don't have people. You don't need buildings if you don't have people. You don't need buses if you don't have people. And praise God for the people. And here, Nehemiah 8 and verse 1, it says, And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And no, this doesn't go back to President Nixon and Watergate and all that, so we're not doing that. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And there is no better way to gather than to gather with the Word of God. And they gather and they tell Ezra the scribe to bring the Word of God. And so I want to talk to you about they gathered themselves together. Father, bless the preaching tonight and use it in our lives to help us and to teach us, and not only to learn more about the book of Nehemiah, but to have practical application in our own lives. And certainly I pray that we would love the Word of God. As I preached this morning, God, I pray we would love to talk to You and to have You talk to us as we read the words that You've given us. And so I pray You'll help us to hunger and thirst after righteousness through Thy Word and through knowing You and walking with You. Bless, please, tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 7 and verse 5, we talked last week about, And my God put into mine heart to gather together the nobles and all the people. And of course, they went through the genealogy and were trying to decide where to build the houses and everything. But God put it in Nehemiah's heart to gather the people. Well, here in chapter 8 and verse 1, the people gathered pretty much on their own. And you have to keep in mind that they had been over the many years before, they had been in captivity and of course come back, built the temple, built the walls, and now the people say, let's get together, let's gather together. We've worked, now let's get together and listen to the Word of God. And they gathered, and I love this description of unity here, they gathered together as one man. And of course we have in 1 Corinthians, we have the illustration of the body. And how that's one man, and how we are a body right here. This group, we are a body, and the gathering together. Good description for unity. One man is how it is described here. They gathered themselves together as one man. The walls were built. They were organized by genealogy where their houses would be built, and all of that was taken care of as we read through chapter 7. And now it's time for fellowship. Amen. Now the work is done, and there's a break. Obviously, the work's not done. There will always be work. But now it's time for some fellowship. And they came together. They'd been apart for many years. There had not been a celebration time like this in many, many years. It was the first day of the seventh month, which is the Feast of Trumpets, and it was a Sabbath day. It was a holy day. A holy convocation was to take place. The altar was set up again, and they could now offer sacrifices. And you know, all of that after the captivity, after so many years of sorrow and pain and hurt, and now the people gather themselves together. We would maybe think there'd be another kind of way to celebrate. They said, you know, we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And as we go on through chapter 8, we'll see what the Word of God does and how they learned some things and some things they had forgotten. You know, it's a good thing to read the Bible to help remind us of things maybe we forgot. It's good to get out the Bible. It's good to every day look through the pages and not just read the same things that you always read, but to read through your Bible. And it's amazing as you read through your Bible, the things that maybe... Well, you know, I remember hearing about that in Sunday school. I remember reading about that years ago. Things we've forgotten. And certainly an important part of our Bible reading. Well, number one, we see the people here. And I realize we spent some time talking about the people. But there are some things I think we can point out through this passage as we go through chapter 8 of Nehemiah. And the first thing that I think of and that stands out to me is it is a very diverse group. It says in verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And so here we have the men and the women and all that could hear with understanding. It says in verse 3, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that can understand. Again, there is the emphasis, the men, the women, those that can understand. In other words, there were children here, there were young people here, those that could understand. And you'd be amazed what a child can understand. Amen. Amen. You'd be amazed how, you know, we have this idea, well, you know, the kids, we better give them something so they can call her in church. Let them listen to the Word of God. They need to listen to God's Word. Every child can understand the Word of God. By the way, in Nehemiah chapter 8, they understood. I mean, there were children there. There were men, there were women, there were children. It was a diverse group. What other book can keep the interest of men and women and children? I mean, seriously, it's an amazing thing. What other book can get their attention, can keep their interest? What other book could instruct men and women and children? I mean, you might have a book to instruct, for example, in using computers. What's it called? Computer for Dummies or something like that, which I would need the a pre-book for that, probably. But that doesn't, you know, not everybody can pay attention to that. Not everybody can get something out of that. You know, it might instruct some, and for others it might be very boring. But, you know, the Word of God works for everybody. The Word of God works not only for the child, but it also works for the teenager, and it also instructs the adult, and it also instructs the senior saint, and it instructs the new convert, while it's at the same time instructing the old convert, amen? And it helps the saint as well as it is convicting the sinner. What other book is like that? There is no other book like that. What other book can comfort all of those groups of people? I'm talking about a diverse group of people, men, women, children, all kinds of races perhaps, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of different ideas and growing up in a different way. What other book can provide instruction and can keep the interest of such a diverse group of people? No other book can. There isn't any other book like it. What other book can comfort that large group of people? What other book in all of mankind could provide comfort for a wealthy person while at the same time it's providing comfort for a poor person? What other book could provide a guide for those who are have college education but can also guide those who have no education? I'm talking about the same book, the Word of God, and how that book is the book that this diverse group of people called together. All races, all nationalities, anybody can take this whole book and can gather together around this book and can gain from this book if we'll just listen to it and if we'll read it and if we'll listen to the preaching. God can, you know, that's one of the great things about Wednesday night and how it's amazing to watch God work in, you talk about a diverse group. I mean, Wednesday night is as diverse as any group that could gather together. We have very small children right up in here in these areas. And you know, you say, well, some of them are asleep. Some of the adults are asleep. See, it has the same effect. But there are many that are like this. I get little notes from children many times. Pastor, thank you for preaching about sloths and slugers. They don't always spell it right, but you know what? I mean, they know what that's all about. I believe it was a child that gave me a sloth, a beanie baby sloth. I don't know if it was a child. Was it a child? Was that you, Matthew? Gave me that beanie baby sloth? Thank you so much. Kayla, don't get so excited. All right. I'm not sure if that was a hint or what he was trying to get, but well, I've got that right on the shelf there, you know, my sloth to look at. So we're not sloth, but he got it. He understood. And you know, and adults, I get notes, you know, boy, thank you for Wednesday night. That's helped me so much. No other book can do that. No other book. You go through the book of Proverbs, I'm telling you, a child can be convicted while an adult is convicted. A child can learn while an adult learns. A child can be comforted while an adult is comforted. It's amazing, this book and this diverse group of people gathered together for this book. And you know, I like the words, they gathered together. You know, here we see really probably more so than in chapter 7, verse 5, when God put it in Nehemiah's heart to gather them. Here they're gathering because they chose to gather. Here they're gathering because they needed something from the Word of God. They're not gathering because their bellies are hungry, though we do gather for that, and we will after church tonight. But they're gathering because they want fed the Word of God. They're gathering because they're hungry for the Word of God. It was their choice. They gathered. There's no indication here where it was required for them. But it was a huge, huge area before the Watergate. Huge area where everybody could come. They chose to gather. They gathered on purpose. And I love that thought. They gathered on purpose. They desired to be together. In the New Testament, it talks about this, says preferring one another. And that should be how we are about each other. We should prefer one another. We should always, and it's true. You know, you go to work and you work with unsaved people, perhaps. You go to work and you work with people that aren't interested in the Word of God. But you have to go to work. It's a necessity. You should always prefer one another. You should always. I remember when I first got saved, and my parents, my family was not saved, and I loved my family. I always have loved my family, but I found that as I started going to church and getting involved, I was with my family and I spent time with my family, but I really preferred God's family. I found that I preferred being around God's people. I found that, you know, the first time my wife and I, as pretty new Christians, and both of us still kind of hippies, I found that when we were invited to our first party, we thought, oh, brother. Now, at first we heard the word party and we thought, yeah. You know, but then we found out they were going to play games. And I thought, oh, brother, I'm going to go over to somebody's house and play. What was the name of that game? Milburns? Yeah, is that it? Anyway, you go around a little track and you have flat tires and I don't know what all you do. But anyway, and I really had made up my mind, this is not going to be fun. And I made up my mind, this isn't the kind of party that I had in mind. But you know, that it was fun. Not so much the game. In fact, I think I lost, and I hate losing. But just the fellowship, just God's people. Nobody cussed. Nobody talked dirty. Nobody talked about worldly things. We just went around the little board and had flat tires. Amen. But the conversation was about church. The conversation was about how good the service was, and people were talking about did you see so-and-so got baptized? And boy, that is so good. And again, preferring one another. I'd rather be around God's people than anybody. Always. It's always like that. And that is the way it should be. And again, the description used in Nehemiah is they gathered as one man. But keep in mind that sin and the captivity had split them apart for many, many years. And you don't appreciate together until you've been apart. You don't, and we know that because we experience that in life many times. You know, somebody that you're not so excited about, a relative or something, you say, "Boy, I'm glad we don't see them often." But the longer it goes, you get together and you say, "I've kind of missed them." And I'm telling you, the people here, they missed the fellowship of each other. And they came together on their own here, not by accident, but by choice. Could I just say, unity will never happen by accident either. It is by choice. Unity is putting up with each other. Unity is understanding we are different, but we have the Bible in common. For them to pull out and have Ezra read the Bible And Ezra, of course, had been he had been there, and then he had gone back to Babylon, and now he had come back. And they call for him to bring out the Word of God and to read it to them. They knew they were choosing unity, and they chose the one thing that could unify them. They chose the one book that they could all agree on. They're not going to agree on colors. They're not going to agree on foods to eat. They're not, because we don't. They're not going to agree on things that they necessarily like. But this is something right here they could become one man over. The Word of God. And it was their choice. It was their choice. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. You choose unity. A husband and a wife, they choose. You know, when a couple gets married, they choose each other. When there's the premarital counseling, it's always pointed out, hey, you are choosing each other. Okay, nobody's making. If somebody's making you do, we're not going to do it. You are choosing each other. Sir, do you choose her? Ma'am, do you choose him? Sometimes I say, I don't know why you do, but no, I would never say that. But do you choose each other? Yes. Okay, that's unity. That means, sir, when you choose her, you're choosing all the weirdness about her. Amen. That's right, Daryl. Ma'am, when you choose him, you're choosing all the strange things he does. Carol, it was many years ago, right? But you make the choice. That's why, you know, people say, well, we just met. We want to get married. No, you don't. Get to know each other because you're choosing that person. It was their choice. It was their choice. You know, the Bible says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And it says so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need each other. Tough days are coming. We need each other. They needed each other. After all those years of captivity, finally, the temple's restored, the walls are built, the people are gathering together, and they find the one thing they can agree on, that is the Word of God. They can agree on that. There's security in unity. There's strength in unity. But remember, we choose it. We choose it. And you know, as you think about it, it really makes sense. It made sense for them to come together with the Word of God. All in the same city ought to come together. They're behind the walls, right? I mean, really, it makes sense that they would come together as one man. I like that, as one man. You think about as one man. I honestly get along best with me. You get along best with you. Very seldom do you argue with yourself, right? Well, some do. I mean, there are some folks here that have split personality. You argue with each and every one of you. You know, it's a group discussion whenever you're alone. But the truth is, I get along best with me. And when you start talking about as one man, you know, what an idea. And by the way, it's a good idea to get along with you because you're with you all the time. They were in the same city, so they figured, you know, we ought to get along with each other. We are behind the same walls. We're in the same city. And we need to get along with each other. Now, does that mean they all agree? No. Does that mean they all think the same way? No. But they brought the Bible out and said, here's what we can agree on right here. This book, right? This is how we can gather together and we can unite with the Word of God and believing this book. It makes sense for them to come together like that as one man. It was a large area and all were gathering together, and really they expected everybody to come. Rich people, poor people, same wall for everybody, amen? You know, same wall for the rich as it was for the poor. Rich people didn't have a better chunk of wall than the poor people had. It's just the wall. You know, well, we want to be closer to the wall. Do you really? There's really no advantage being close to the wall or far away from the wall. It's just the wall. And it didn't really matter who was who because, again, you know, the Bible says God is no respecter of persons. That's how the church ought to be. Everybody's the same. We're all sinners saved by the wonderful grace of God. Not one of us deserves anything, but we can have everything. Isn't that wonderful? And God is just so good to us. And it really makes sense for everybody to come together under the Word of God. It really does. And, you know, it may have been difficult. It may have in some senses. And we all know that. We, you know, I've counseled enough couples to know that unity sometimes can be strained a little bit. But the key to all, you know, the thing is, we have so much in common compared with so few unimportant differences. You know, just like in a marriage. Usually the fights, arguments, and everything, they're over silly little things. Silly things. Do you understand? Usually problems in church are over silly little things. Things that just do not matter at all. And in marriages, in homes, in families. I mean, right now, you know, teenager, you're mad at your parents, and it's some silly little thing. It's some foolish little thing that doesn't really matter. And you know, the whole thing we have to understand is we are different. We're different. We don't like all the same things. But my body doesn't like the same thing as the rest of my body. For example, my hand doesn't really want to wear a shoe. In fact, I promise you that I'm not wearing shoes on my hands tomorrow. I'm not going to do it. My head doesn't want, though it does get cold sometimes, it doesn't want to wear a glove. See, you're imagining that. But listen to me. My head doesn't want to wear a glove, but I'm not mad. My head doesn't get mad at my hand for wanting to wear a glove. My foot doesn't get mad if my hand wants to wear a glove, but my foot doesn't want to wear the glove. Are y'all with me? There are things that we just don't necessarily all agree about. But the truth of the matter is, don't get mad because your hand wants to wear a glove and your foot wants to wear a shoe and your head wants to wear a hat. Don't get mad because your head doesn't want to wear the shoe and your hand doesn't want to wear the hat and your foot doesn't want to wear the glove. I don't know if I said that right or not, but I'm trying. It's just a matter of realizing it's one, and that's what we are. That's what we are. You know, you look around and you say, why in the world do they think the way they think? It's all right. I'm sure my hand wonders what in the world could be comfortable about a shoe. Do you think that? I mean, seriously, and I'm sure a shoe cannot begin to understand what sort of comfort there could possibly be in a hat. Okay, try tomorrow, wear your hat on your foot. And go out and walk across the rocks. And you'll say, this is terrible. Why in the world would the head want the hat? Are you with me? Now here's the thing. The hand doesn't gossip about the foot wanting to wear a shoe. Does your hand gossip? I can't believe that foot wants to wear a shoe. Well, I don't understand it either.
Yeah, me neither. I wear a hat.
I'm trying to make a head sound like, I don't know how a head would sound. Kayla, are you into this?
Kind of.
I can tell. All right. Now, I'm just about done with this, but can you imagine trying to put a pair of pants on your arms? I'm trying to imagine that in my mind. Anyway, every part of the body is different, and every part of this body is different. Every part in Nehemiah chapter 8 of that body, they were all different. But they agreed on this. They agreed on the Word of God. And that's how they came together. One man gets along with himself and he forgets the differences of any one part. He decides what's best for the whole. And that is the most important thing. And how does he know what's best for the whole? Because he has the book that God wrote. He has the words that God gave. That's how he knows what's best for the whole. And you know what? My hand accepts the fact that my feet are going to wear shoes. And because that's what's best for the feet. And my feet accept the fact that my hands will wear gloves. And the body gets along with the body because the body wants to survive. The body wants to thrive. The body wants what's best for the whole. And that's how we need to look at ourselves. That's exactly what happens in Nehemiah 8. And again, let me remind you, if you've been backslidden for a while, do you know one of the things inevitably that I've seen with people that backslide is you miss the fellowship of God's people. You can talk all you want about the world's fellowship and, oh man, we're having a good time out here in the world. That's garbage. Because I know the good time of the world. I've experienced the good time of the world, and I've counseled many people who have left it because it was miserable. And you know, it may be fun for a while. There is pleasure of sin, but it's for a season. And when the season's over, the pain far, far, far outweighs the pleasure. The foot doesn't ever say, why don't I ever get to eat? And so the foot doesn't get jealous of the mouth, because the foot knows that the mouth is supposed to do the eating so that the foot eventually gets the nourishment that the mouth took in. You got to get along. It is God's will. The people chose to gather together, and they chose to become one man, and they chose the Word of God as their guide and their direction of how that it would be best for the whole. Number one, the people. Number two is the purpose. And certainly their gathering was, there was a condition here, and that was bring the book. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses. Bring the word of God. They knew. They knew that was the one thing that could bring them together. They knew that was the thing they could, after all the years of being apart, they knew the Word of God could bring them together. After all the directions everybody had gone, all the, you know, in Babylon, all the false religion and all the different things they had heard, they knew that the Word of God could bring them together. Bring the Word of God. That's why we gather. That's why we gather here is because of the Word of God. We gather to hear the Word of God. We gather to preach the Word of God. We gather to bring people in to hear the Word of God and to make decisions. But it's got to be with the Word of God. People often wonder, you know, we'll have teen activities, we'll have teen meetings, and you know, just pretty much everything we do, somebody preaches from the Word of God. But without the Word of God, there's really no reason to gather. And let's be honest, without the Word of God, any gathering probably is headed for destruction. It's going to all fall apart. You got to have the Word of God in common. For some, it had been many years since they'd been in a service quite like this, there at the street before the water gate. For some, it had been many years since somebody got up and preached the Word of God. For some, it had been a long, long time. And they knew this was something that they had in common. I believe this crowd was excited. I believe they were excited about it. You know, as you think about the Word of God, as you think about coming together, wouldn't it make sense if how excited, and I think about the excitement they had that day. What if everybody was reading the Word of God every day? You know, we're all reading the same book. By the way, another great reason to believe and to know that we have the Word of God. And we don't need 25 different translations of it. We have it. And when Carol Hawkins calls me and says, "Preacher, I've been reading the Word of God and God spoke to my heart," I know he's reading the Word of God that I'm reading. And somebody else says, "You know, the other day I was reading the Word of God and God spoke to my heart," I know they were in the same book that I was in. What a blessing to read the same book going in the same direction. Again, it's one man. It's tough to go two directions when you're one man. You have a split personality. Amen. You'll get that later on. If I walk with God, if my wife walks with God, we're going the same direction. Because God goes the same direction. And it's the same thing with the church. It's the same thing with your marriage. But again, it's a choice. And they chose to be one man. They chose to gather. They chose to gather behind the walls. And they were willing and anxious to hear the word of God that would unify them there behind those walls. And after all, it was the same God. It was the same nation. It was the same people. It was the same sin that led them into the captivity in the first place. And it was the same judgment, but it was also the same opportunity that they had. The purpose. They were hungry for the word of God. They were hungry. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They called for it. You know, it's amazing as you read this. The Bible says that they called for it, and the Bible was read from morning until midday. Morning until midday. Now, I want you to think about that. He read therein, verse 3, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, possibly, say, 6, maybe 8 o'clock until noon. Not necessarily just reading, because there would have been some interpretation for those that maybe didn't understand the language, but there would have been some explanation. The Bible says later on they made them understand the word. It was a preaching service, you say. Good night, we could never handle that. I'll tell you, if you're really hungry for the Word of God, you could handle it. You would handle it with delight. You'd be thrilled. And it was all that time, possibly 6 hours. And the Bible says, it says this about it. It says, those that could understand, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. They were the people were paying attention, listening to what was being said, what was being read. They weren't talking to each other. They weren't looking around. They weren't looking through the hymn book. They weren't coloring pictures. I mean, they were listening to the Word of God. Now, I think about that, and I think about the law of Moses. We talked about it this morning. Read some of that law. The people were scared to death, if you recall. They had the law of Moses. We have more than that. We have more than David did. And David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. We have more than David did. I mean, David's out there with the sheep, and he's reciting the word of God, the part that was available to him. We have more than David did. We have all the stories of the New Testament and so much more than David did. And we say, oh, I just can't handle this. Isn't that something? David said, I love thy law. It is my meditation. These people sat, and I can only imagine, they watched, they listened, they were attentive to the Word of God. They loved it. And we have more. We have the history of the Jews in Canaan and Psalms, and we have the wisdom of Solomon. We have the preaching of the prophets and the letters of the apostles, and we have the story of and the words of Jesus Christ. We have instructions to the church. We have lessons on salvation. We have lessons of grace and faith and justification. And we have the revelation, seeing the future. We have all of that to read, and yet we don't read our Bibles. And we should. But again, they hungered for the Word of God. They had a respect for the Word of God. Verse 5, it says, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. All the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And there's a respect here for the Word of God. They bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They were attentive, and they respect. This is the Word of God. You know, I'm amazed how, folks, teach your children to respect the Word of God. Teach them to respect when the Word of God is being preached. Hey, that's the Word of God being preached. This is the Word of God. You know, we're so casual with our Bibles, I'm afraid. I'll see kids, you know, throw their Bible. Hey, that's the Word of God. But again, when you haven't had it for a long time, you kind of take it for granted. As these people, they didn't have it for a long time. The people, the purpose, and then number 3, the last thing is the preaching. It's described here, and course, many things that are in a normal preaching service, I believe. Of course, the preaching, obviously, the preacher, they didn't have a PA system, and with a crowd this large, they would have to be yelling, and not only yelling to one group, they would have to pass it on to others behind them, because we're talking about a crowd, thousands and thousands of people. And then there would be interpreting, and there would be explaining, and it's got to be an amazing thing. I like the way the people said, amen, amen. You suppose that's where Brother Stevenson got that? Amen, amen. Because right there it is. All the people answered, amen, amen. Amen simply means verily, truly, so be it. That's what amen means. So be it. Amen. And that's why people amen. Folks will come to our church sometime. Every now and then, you know, somebody say, amen, amen. And they, you know, I remember the first time I went to a church and people amen. And I thought, what is that all about? I mean, I came from a Methodist background. But it is very biblical. If it's not a show, you know, if you're not just saying amen. I've known some people to just say amen and the preacher mess up and say something wrong and they amen that. In fact, I'm thinking of a teenager right now. Guy got up and he messed up the whole thing. He said something totally undoctored. And this guy says, amen. I said, don't amen that. That wasn't right. And you know, because you're just not paying attention. But if you are, and these people were, amen. And they lift up their hands, amen. People might see me. Yeah, they might. Of course, if everybody's doing it, I guess everybody'd see it. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Again, it's not the whole idea here, it's not about them, it's about the Word of God. Totally about the Word of God. The preaching was on with a pulpit. The Bible says Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people. And so that's the focus. He was above all the people. And back in verse 4, it says, Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood all these other people. Notice I skipped all those names. But it was like a platform, and he stood, and all could see. And again, you got to realize how many people there are in this street, and they're lined up. I mean, there's people all over the place, and he is preaching to them. There is one copy, and he makes sure he reads from that. He was above and in the sight of the people. Why? Because it's the Word of God. It's not about the preacher. It's about the preaching. Thank God we have the Word of God in English. But the Bible does say this about the preaching. It says, Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. All the people answered, amen, amen. With lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Bani and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathiah, all these people, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. And while he's preaching, there's explanations going on all over the place. And in some cases, they're passing it on as he reads it because it's such a large crowd. But it says in verse 8, so they read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And that is what a preaching service is all about. We have the Word of God in English, but there should be the preaching and the giving the sense and helping people to understand, causing them, the Bible says, to understand the reading. Not changing it, not diluting it, not corrupting it, but reading it distinctly and then causing them to understand what God is saying. And that is the kind of preaching that people have when they love this book. That's the kind of preaching people need who want to come together with the Word of God. It's the preaching of the Word of God. And again, you say, preacher, you talk about some of these churches with dramas and rapping with the Rev and all these kind of things. It's because we go back to Nehemiah here, and the focus should be the Word of God, not a concert. The focus is the Word of God. People need the Word of God. People need church people. All of us, we need the Word of God. The focus should be the Word of God, nothing else. That should be the focus. Sometimes preaching is hard. Sometimes, like tonight, it's not so hard. It's more of a teaching kind of a preaching. But all the time, it should revolve around this book. Because that's how we have unity. Otherwise, we're going all kinds of different directions. And we need this so much. And again, if you just think about the fact that these came out of captivity, you say, "Preacher, I just don't know about sitting for 4, 5, 6 hours and listening to preaching." You get away from it a while, and you get right with God. You'll find two things real quick. You'll want to be with God's people, and you'll want to be with God's Word. And you will need both. And that's what we need here. And that's what we need in our lives as Christians. Let's bow our heads, please.